Hello there, everybody. It's me, Gary Kidney, the co-host of You've Got to Be Kidding Me on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
And I am Liam Jones, my full name, and I am also a part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as a co-host for You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
We are a TNA history podcast that covers TNA 1 month at a time. We cover all the drama, all the matches, all the Vince Russo nonsense you could ever want in your life.
Have you heard of TNA? I bet you have, but would it be funnier if two people made jokes over it the whole time? Probably.
So if that sounds like fun to you, check it out on this very Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, and Liam will do bits and whatnot.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special Super J-Cast. I'm Joel. I'm not joined by Damon this week. It is Wednesday, the 26th of February, 2025. It's episode 351. It's a very special episode this week because I am joined by our favourite New Japan friends, John Carroll and Chris Samsa, who are here to chat all about Fantastic-a-mania. Thanks for joining on, guys. You've been CMLL experts. We are very excited to have you on the show. No, of course not. We are not here to discuss Fantastic-a-mania. We're here to address our enemies, aren't we? I think. Which enemies would you like to address, John?
I don't have any enemies anymore. I'm too happy. I'm good.
You're
I'm good.
Them all. They're all
going
dead.
To Japan less than a month. I can't be a. Oh yeah, that's right. My biggest enemy, who recently had a downfall lately. I'm not going to say his name, but he knows who he is, and he's probably listening, because he seems like the type of guy who would listen just to be a hater. you know, my gender is more real than your job, sir, in Japan, so enjoy that.
Oh, I
knew what he was
talking about. I was waiting for, I didn't know where that was headed.
Genderqueer people exist, unlike your job at Stardom.
Chris, any enemies you'd like to address?
probably at some point throughout this this thing. I don't know. It's a banner.
You're gonna have to keep listening.
It's a banner day, for wrestling X, wrestling Twitter, in at least in the Voices of Wrestling circle, where we get to talk some shit about some, you know, multiple enemies at the same time, and one of our own gets wrapped up into the drama. So, but I mean, you know, Hirooki Goto's the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, and Carl Anderson still doesn't have a job. So I'm doing good.
Okay, my first question is going to be, how are you feeling about the Bullet Club revival with Baron Corbin, Adam Cole, Carl Anderson, and Doc Gallows? Because that's right around the corner, surely.
Yeah. You know, I could do without it. I've been told that Bullet Club is dead. But
I hope so.
Gosh, that would be a really quick revival.
You know what? I'll allow it only if they go back to using the Bullet 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 song, because I still love that song.
A lot of banger themes with the Bullet Club. I'm not gonna lie.
What about Adam Cole's old New Japan theme? The one that just went Adam Cole baby on a loop for 3 minutes.
That was not one of the good themes.
It's so bad.
No,
good ones. Could be worse. Could be Jushin Thunder Liger wrestling Mighty Sterling.
Oh yeah, that shit. We can't talk about that. That was just like a spot, though, right? It wasn't a match.
Apparently.
Does that make it all right?
Where the hell
does
that make it less bad?
I don't think so. Yeah. Yep.
That had to be some paycheck to get him on plane to Qatar.
With the outfit, the whole with the boodle. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't feel great about that.
Well, but, we're going to skirt over the bad stuff. We're going to put our fingers in our ear and go, la, la, la. I was almost tempted. I was in a bit of a quandary when I saw that on Twitter because I was just thinking, do I tell Damon or not? It's like, you know, do you tell your best friend that their missus is cheating on them? Because I felt like I owed it to him to say, oh, look, mate, I've got some bad news, but...
Well, especially after you guys were essentially the ones that blackballed Mighty Skrull from New Japan, right? I mean, like, you at least had some hand in that.
Yeah, so being there for the Liger's retirement and also blackballing Celebration Martin from the World of Wrestling. Now, it's both those things have blown up in our faces. So I did tell Damon, and then he just replied back a bit later saying, I am heartbroken, and I've not heard from him since. So I don't know if him... not being available for the podcast, he's gone into grieving for that. But yeah, hopefully neither of those people that we've talked about so far will be a part of the New Japan Cup, which is what we're here to talk about today. So we're going to be breaking down the brackets, giving our predictions and our thoughts on the tournament. But first of all, I would just like to get your big picture thoughts on how you're feeling, a vibes check on New Japan Pro Wrestling in 2025. Let's start with you, Chris, please.
Listen, how can you not feel good after that New Beginning show? Hits all down the card. Hiroki Goto is the World Heavyweight Champion, which I just think is a great feel good story. There are like five people in at least in my world that believe that Hiroki Goto was going to win or could win that match, had a chance to win that match even, and three of them are on this. Around this call, and the fourth was supposed to be, so four out of the five. So I've got screenshots. Okay, I've got receipts. I'm not gonna let anybody, you know, tap into that one later down the line.
Not working yourself into a shoot, were we? No.
I mean, us. Never. Yeah, vibes are good though. I mean, I don't really know what else to say. I have no feel for where this New Japan Cup is going. Like, that's a spoiler alert. Like, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you who's gonna win. I couldn't tell you how long I think Hiroki Goto's reign's gonna be. I think seeing who wins the New Japan Cup will tell us a little bit about that potentially, but they've done a lot of surprising things with the booking, especially at the top of the card now. Post Wrestle Kingdom and Wrestle Dynasty. So I'm intrigued by New Japan once again. I'm always frustrated with the booking of buys in a single elimination tournament. But other than that, the New Japan Cup looks good. We've got 175 entries into the Sport of Pro Wrestling New Japan Cup Bracket Challenge, which will remain open for another couple weeks, so I bet we get to somewhere like 300. So the community is strong. And again, Carl Anderson still doesn't have a job, and I think that's a fine ending point for my vibes check. So we'll see where that lands.
I mean, surely if he retweets enough content from NJPW Global on Twitter, there's some sort of contractual obligation to book him for at least something. I mean, would we settle for the Good Brothers having a three-match series with West Coast Wrecking Crew on Strong that nobody will ever watch?
That's at least a nine-month program, so yeah, that's fine.
And how about you, John? How are we feeling about New Japan this year?
Yeah, I was gonna say they can do whatever the hell they want with Strong. I don't really care. I'm feeling good. I mean, it's, you know, like Chris kind of said, that New Beginning Osaka show was so good. It's tough not to feel good. And the entire New Beginning tour, I felt like was one of those tours where everybody seemed, I don't know if locked in is the word, but everybody seemed kind of locked in. Everybody seemed like they were having a good time too. And I feel like the backstage comments will always tell you what the mood is actually like. Like, when people are just giving backstage comments where they're just like, you know, kind of staring at the camera and being like, yeah, my opponent, whatever. You can tell they're not really that excited about what's going on. But when they're back there, like, doing ridiculous fucking shit, like when TMTK, the one that actually turned out to me even more than almost as much as Naito and Hiromu, who were amazing the entire tour, was TMDK backstage just celebrating, or Zach trying to celebrate that they finished third in the weekly pro wrestling best unit award, you know, in the fan voted awards that the weekly magazine does in Japan. And the look on everybody else's face over only finishing in third was so funny. And they ended up having like an entire little comedic segment about it. And, you know, it just kind of felt like everybody was in like a good mood and everybody was, you know, feeding off each other and kind of had those good vibes throughout the entire tour. You know, you had Tsuji and Gabe, especially working really well together on the entire tour. You had Naito and Hiromu having a ton of fun with the double clothesline thing the entire tour. And it just, yeah, you know, it felt like the vibes were really, really high. And I wasn't surprised when New Beginning in Osaka ended up being an awesome show because, you know, again, the entire tour really went well. So
I think with stuff that's going on in the news recently, we've seen a lot of stuff about Gabe Kidd and Clark Connors working AW dates, and there have been some quite visceral reactions to that. John, what are your thoughts on that and the AW relationship as a whole?
Yeah, I don't. So did you guys watch Gabe's Collision appearance? I'm just wondering. I watched it just like I almost never watch Collision. I usually do watch Dynamite, but I never watch Collision. And so I just fast forwarded through the show to find it, and it was so short that I almost, like, I actually did fast forward past it, and I had to go all the way back. And, you know, it was this little 4-minute match. I mean, he beat the Butcher. You know, they had it, let the fucking dullest people on Twitter make their stupid jokes. Nice for the Butcher to give Gabe Kidd his best match in 2025. I'm like, okay, El Hijo de Simon. You're so contrarian. But yeah, I don't know. You're so adorable that you're still doing this gimmick. But yeah, I mean, you know, I didn't feel like anything, honestly. Like, it just felt like, here's a guy who has some dates open and he has some buzz. So, you know, we're sending him out there to beat the Butcher in 4 minutes. Maybe the most concerning part was Don Callis. They showed him briefly watching it on a backstage monitor, which is like, okay, really? We're just going to do the exact same fucking storyline you did with Ospreay and Kenny Omega with Gabe, and either Ospreay or Kenny, where, oh, Don Callis is going to hire him to go after them at Forbidden Door. I'm like, this is the guy that people insist is a good booker. Tony Khan is doing the exact same thing over again. But that aside, he's not like he got any promo time. His promo was on YouTube. You know, in his promo, he just kind of called the entire AEW locker room pussies, which, you know, not a great word, but it's still really funny. And, you know, in Clark Connors' promo, he was like, I'm a war dog and none of AEW is my dog for real. It doesn't feel like either one of them is jumping right now to me. I mean, I would not worry about that if I was an AEW fan. I mean, a New Japan fan. Of course, I get why everybody is anxious. After what happened with Ospreay. And obviously, I think everybody recognizes that AEW is always going to be able to outbid New Japan for people. It doesn't always mean they're going to take it. I mean, Zack Sabre Jr., you know, he worked a lot of dates in AEW and Ring of Honor in 2024, I guess, when he was the TV champion. And no, it would have been 2023. Confusing myself. So when he was a TV champion, he worked a ton of dates for AEW and Ring of Honor that year. And, you know, he's still with New Japan. I mean, he has not jumped. So, you know, just getting booked on these dates does not necessarily mean that they're going to end up signing the guy. So, you know, I mean, Gabe is still young enough. You know, he's still 26. I'm cautiously optimistic we might get at least a few more years before he decides he wants to cash out. I wouldn't be totally, you know, convinced he's necessarily going to jump immediately or even like next January. But, you know, obviously at this point, you can't be stunned if it happens. It's just happened so many times. But I do think a Gabe AEW run would be, a full-time AEW run would be hilariously bad. not Gabe's fault at all, but I just do not think Tony Khan is going to know how to book a Gabe kid on a weekly basis at all. But that's just my opinion, obviously. I mean, Gabe's character is a little too, I don't want to say subtle, but like, it's just, you know, the, I just think he would turn him into a complete cartoon character if he got him. So anyway, I guess those are my thoughts.
And Chris, how are you feeling about the special relationship between New Japan and All Elite Wrestling?
I feel like it's less important now than it's ever been. Maybe that's because the New Japan product feels a lot better now than it did. I don't know, even a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. So, you know, I mean, Gabe's a special case. He's on the rise. He's clearly the hot ticket right now. It feels like there are plans in New Japan for Gabe, for them to really get behind Gabe, if he's there, right? And that's sort of the big if, right? He's got to be there for those plans to come to fruition. So, you know, guy like Clark Connor's popping up over there. Clark's great. He's a good wrestler. What's his lane right now? He doesn't have I guess we call them the war pups, right? Like, Drilla's going heavyweight. Clark doesn't have a tag partner. He's had a good run in Best of Super Juniors. I anticipate that to happen again this year, and we'll see what happens with Clark. But he's not a guy that I see jumping either, but I could be wrong. But I think it's all leading towards Forbidden Door. And I think if that's the case, then I'm actually thrilled, because that means they've actually put some thought into what Forbidden Door might look like. And it's February, and that's huge. You know, I would expect guys from the UK to be featured on Forbidden Door, because that's where it is this year for the first time. So they've got to draw some ticket sales. They've got to bring some folks in. And you may as well plant those seeds now. And you know, there's a lot to do with a guy like Gabe or even Clark, right? So hopefully those guys are just positioning themselves for a good spot on that card. And, you know, whatever they start now ends up paying off then. And if that's the case, then I'd actually be pretty impressed. So I'm hopeful.
Sticking with the positive vibes, Chris, what are you most excited about for New Japan moving forward?
Some uncertainty in the booking in a positive way for once, for the first time in a little while, right? I mean, we've had a couple of down years, right, where things are just not all that exciting. We had the Sonata run, especially at the top of the card. We had, you know, the weird G1s. There's been a lot of weird, right? A lot of unorthodox things. They're trying some stuff. You know, last year's G1 was tremendous. We're finally seeing guys like Tsuji and Yumura and Oiwa coming into their own. Gabe, obviously, as we just spoke about, we've established Zack Sabre Jr. as a main eventer. Like, it's like a new generation. Okada's gone. That pain and suffering of Okada and Ospreay leaving in pretty quick succession is a little reduced now that everything seems okay. You know, like, it feels like it's in a much healthier spot. You know, we're not looking down the barrel at Nick Nemeth and Matt Riddle, you know, holding, you know, major championships in this company. You know, and I could be surprised, right? Who knows when Baron Corbin shows up or my nemesis, Carl Anderson. Like, I don't know, right? But right now, at this very moment, it feels like they're rolling with the roster. And they're not depending on these outside guys. And whether or not all these guys stay, like, that's not, I don't think that's really the point, right? Like, but they're rolling with what they've got right now. They're rolling with their own locker room and not bringing in even a guy like, you know, like last year, even around this time, we were saying goodbye to Will Ospreay. And we had Brian Danielson coming in for the semi-main on the New Beginning show. Like, none of those guys that were really featured in those top two matches on that New Beginning show are even still, you know, around, except for Zack Sabre Jr. So, you know, and I think we're seeing some bolder moves in regards to some of the branding, right? So, you know, Bullet Club is, they're using less of that verbiage. They're using less of that identity. House of Torture is finally split off. Like, they're finally ending some of these like uncertain storylines that have been out there for a really long time. So it's almost like they looked at everything and they were like, we need to clean some of this up so we can move forward. And it really does. It feels like that's sort of what's happening. And, you know, you've got a really feel good story at the top of the card. And I think that's really kind of neat, because Goto's going to run through, you know, Tanahashi, maybe Nagata, maybe he gets one defense over a younger guy, but someone's going to take the belt off of Goto and it's going to be really meaningful. And maybe that's David Finlay. Maybe that's Gabe Kidd. Maybe it could be there. It could, there's a whole crop of guys that could be. And I think the fan base would accept it. And that's an exciting place to be, because that means you've got a lot, you know, you've got a lot of bullets in the holster, you know, and we don't necessarily have to fear the push of Shota Umino right now, because it feels like they've really done their diligence in sort of downcycling him a little bit, but also giving him a story. So,
yeah, very much feels like this is an ongoing process of New Japan reading the room and actually listening to what fans are enjoying, what they're not enjoying, and acting accordingly upon that. So let's hop that one over to you, John. What are you excited about for New Japan this year and beyond?
Yeah, so Chris covered a lot of the obvious stuff. I'll give a couple outside-the-box answers. First of all, I've been really, really into Stardom this year so far. Like, I think they're having a really great start to the year, too. So I would be excited to see, you know, if we get some more Stardom integration this year with New Japan, especially now that they're all under the same roof again. I would love to see, you know, another IWGP women's title match on, you know, maybe like a Sakura Genesis or a Dontaku or a Dominion level show. You know, I think Mayu and Izumi had an amazing match, you know, in the time they got at Wrestle Kingdom. And then hopefully they do another historic crossover later in the year. So that would be high on my list of things I'd be excited about. As far as stuff coming up that we know about for sure, that's, you know, in the short term, you know, Goto's title reign and seeing how it goes is going to be a lot of fun for me. I mean, just, you know, once he got the momentum going, I mean, it was such a great run that they put him on ever since, you know, the G1 last year, where, you know, you saw it come together when he wins that match at Korakuen against David Finlay with his kids there. You know, he goes to King of Pro Wrestling and then comes up short against Finlay for the global title, but you saw how behind him the crowd was. And then he goes out there at Wrestle Kingdom, wins the Battle Royal. And, you know, people scoffed at the idea that he could win this title. But, you know, sometimes the best thing to do is the obvious thing. And sometimes you just give the people the happy ending they want. And, you know, you see the result at New Beginning in Osaka, where, you know, I've watched that entire match and finish and, you know, the videos they did and everything a bunch of times already since, you know, in the last 15 days, because it was just such an amazing moment. It's like one of those wrestling moments you only get, you know, really a few times in like a 10-year span, if you're lucky. I mean, there's really no finish like that that I can remember since Naito did the double gold dash in 2020. So, you know, when you have something where people really genuinely care a lot, and they're really genuinely happy to see, you know, a man win a fake belt in a fake wrestling match. I mean, you know, it's hard to see how you get to that moment in, you know, to get to, I guess, go back to what we talked about, the AEW relationship. I don't really see what AEW could do to give a moment like that, you know, in 2025. I don't think anyone cares enough about their world title right now, or, you know, anyone winning it for the first time. And that's, I guess, where the New Japan history and the New Japan can, you know, the legacy of this company and a lot of other stuff that you just, you know, the feeling around it that you can't purchase. You can't fund that no matter how many billions of dollars you have. I guess he could literally try to purchase the company if he really wants to. But other than that, though, you can't just, you know, you can't create something like a Goto, you know, struggling to win the top title of the company for 20 goddamn years out of nowhere. I mean, that's just the kind of thing you have to let happen organically. And, you know, they let it happen and they went with it. And now we get to see this man as champion finally. And, you know, seeing how it goes and how long that reign will go, and how the fans will react to him, you know, is just something I'm really looking forward to. And I don't think I've mentioned it on your air yet. Obviously, I talked about it a lot off air. I'm going to actually be at Sakura Genesis in the front row in Sumo Hall, and just being there to see Goto come out with that title belt as champion of the main event is just, I'm already picturing in my head the reaction he's going to get from that crowd. And I, you know, it's one of those things I'm just really, really, really looking forward to. So.
Now, we are here to talk about the New Japan Cup, which is a really interesting tournament because, especially looking at this field, as you've mentioned, Chris, it's very unpredictable. I've been staring at the brackets for well over an hour today, just sort of tossing and turning ideas in my head and trying to book what I think could be a plausible outcome to the tournament. But without getting into specifics, because obviously we are going to go through it and give our picks, what are your expectations going into the tournament? Because it's one of those ones where there are lots of very delicious possibilities on the table for how the sort of matches we could get up in the early or the latter rounds. But the New Japan Cup never gives you everything that you want. There's going to be a few twists and turns, a few surprises, a few upsets, a few disappointments in there. So what are your expectations going into the tournament?
I feel like I'm looking at just the first round right now. I think we're going to have some surprises in the first round, because they're giving us some matches in the first round that I would expect further into the tournament too. Even just the first match in the top left, Tsuji versus Evil, like that feels like a big match. But then obviously you see Evil, you know, potentially moving on to David Finlay, which feels like a hot story right now because they just had the beatdown angle with Finlay, right? So like the New Japan Cup is neat because it does weave in whatever story is actually happening, you know, like the characters and storytelling. The New Japan Cup is able to weave that in even better than
wrong
something
podcast,
like a
mate.
G1.
Wrong podcast.
Oh, shoot. Ah,
we don't talk about the characters and storytelling here.
Darn. What do we talk about? Nipples and dicks?
That's it. You got it.
All right. Damn. Yeah. My bad. So, but I mean, all jokes aside, like they're, that stuff weaves into the New Japan Cup a lot better, and than the G1. I think the G1 is a self-contained story of its own. It's my favorite thing, but the New Japan Cup really does draw from what's already happening, right? So you can kind of book it out yourself. And some years it's really obvious where we're headed, right? This year, not so much, right? But I do think there's going to be some important matches that then end up getting some follow-up post New Japan Cup. So. And I'm hopeful that one of the younger guys gets a run, right? At least gets to the final, if not wins the damn thing. I mean, there's some options here that I think are really interesting. So yeah, I mean that's sort of my expectation. My expectation is that I think the booking will be a little more surprising, but it's almost by design that it has to be because it's such a wide open tournament. Like, I think the locker room leader or the contest pick leader is still David Finlay, and I'm running those numbers as we speak, but he was also really high on the list last year and had to, you know, back out of the tournament, and which is where we ended up with this Goto situation. I mean, it was the start of it at least, right? So, you know, and I think that there's a lot, and you know, with that said, does that make Finlay the most interesting winner to challenge Goto? Because Goto sort of potentially stole his moment last year, because Finlay was probably on course, very potentially on course to at least go to the final. So, you know, I think that's an interesting wrinkle. And I think anyone you put in there with Goto is going to be interesting because Goto is an interesting champion, the same way Zack Sabre Jr. was, you know, like, Zach was a really interesting champion to see what they do with a guy, you know, that they elevate to that level who's, you know, a foreigner. And now we've got the kind of the last beacon of that generation, Hirooki Goto, finally holding the title. And I have to believe he's going to try to hold on to it for dear life. And, you know, part of me thinks he's going to have a longer reign than we think, which, you know, I don't even know what you guys think about how long his reign is, but to me, that means
he's selling tickets. He's a big draw.
He's selling tickets. So to me, that means it's time to, you know, give one of the young guys a New Japan Cup win and a Ryugoku challenge and maybe lose and then, you know, kind of move on from there. That's my ideal scenario. I think if Finley wins this tournament, he's probably winning the title. And then there's different conversations that end up happening on podcasts like this one.
John, how about you? What your hopes?
Well, I
want to
ask Chris something real quick. Chris, I know when you had 100 responses, you posted it, right?
Yeah.
Zach had not gotten a single pick to win yet, which stunned me. Has he gotten any yet?
He has 6 of the 175 now. Okay. At this very moment.
Not that I think that that's like, you know, definitely going to happen. He's not my pick, but I could not believe that people were like completely writing him off.
Yeah, that was surprising. Something. And you know, those first 100 are generally the most in tune to what's going on, or the most excited about what's happening in this very moment. Maybe not the most in tune. Those, you know, I haven't put mine in. I don't know if you guys have or if you will, but
I have.
So I was stunned. But I'm even looking at it now. I mean, Tsuji only has 4. He won the thing last year. You know, it is heavy David Finley. Gabe Kidd's up there too. But again, we are working with the English speaking audience, right? So it typically is going to lean that way, which is also why it was really surprising that Zack Sabre Jr. didn't have any picks. So
so as far as my thoughts, okay. So here's what I want to do real quick. I want to say who I think are the realistic winners, not necessarily who, because I'm going to give a bunch of people, but if either of you disagree with me on any of these, let me know. First of all, when I give my realistic winner list, and then we can see if any of you have, either of you have another person you think might be a realistic winner. Obviously, David Finley, so there'll be no disagreement there. Yuya Uemura, to me, realistic winner. Yes? Are you good?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Zack Sabre Jr., I don't think he's going to win, but obviously he has to be considered a realistic winner. Gabe Kidd, yes, obviously, I think, right? Realistic winner.
Mm-hmm.
This one is, to me, the biggest stretch, maybe, but after how he dominated Shota, I would put Great O'Conn in the realistic winner list. I think it's possible. I wouldn't pick him, but I think he's realistic.
I think him having a title challenge under his belt already helps. We've seen him up at that level.
That's an interesting thought. He's of the next generation. He's the only one in his own generation, essentially.
Yeah, because everybody else didn't make it, unfortunately.
Yeah, so, and United Empire needs a shot in the arm.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, yeah. Yeah, not out of the question.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I there's a lot of people here who since they're not winning, but I would not put him on that list.
He had a great run in the at the end of the G1 too.
Yeah. And the crowd really, really has been taking to him all throughout the whole New Beginning tour.
Yeah.
Right up to Osaka. Shota Umino, I don't think it's gonna happen. I don't think they're gonna shove him right into winning it. I do see him going deep though. I think the path is there for him to go deep. Especially if Okan isn't winning. I wouldn't pick him, but I think he's a realistic winner if they really want to go with total 180.
That would be a quick turnaround.
But would you be like completely like it wouldn't blow your mind the way Chase Owens winning would?
No, but I do think he's largely been rejected.
Yeah,
by fans everywhere. And that Tokyo Dome match did not help
him though. Yeah, I don't know. I have him going deep. I will say when we get into our picks, I don't have him winning. I think this is going to be like his redemption tour, but I don't know. I guess we'll say maybe it's too early.
Okay, well, let's get into talking about the brackets then. So,
So those are 6 people. So to the unpredictability you know, that's 6 realistic winners, I think. Maybe 5, you don't count Shota. Is there anybody else I didn't mention that either one of you thinks is a realistic winner?
They could go back to the well with Tsuji. But I guess he's got the global.
I don't think, got the global and he's losing in the first round.
I think he's losing in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, again, he wouldn't be a Chase Owens level stunner, but I don't think he's winning. I don't really give him any chance.
You completely ruling out your boy Naito?
Yeah, he's a tag wrestler now, man. He's losing to Callum in the first round, I think.
I think he's losing to Callum. I think they're finally going to pay that off.
Yeah. So I think that's they're going to set up a tag title challenge with that, probably.
Yeah, and that's the first round stunner that gets people talking. Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems too obvious to be the stunner, but I mean, it's also it's right there.
Yeah. But is there anybody? I'm trying to think who would be the next tier of guy. Bolton? Guess.
Yeah. He's interesting. Shingo's out there.
Shingo feels like he's done already to me. Like at that level.
He needs something to do though. And put Shingo and Goto. Like that's the thing about New Japan Cup is if someone doesn't have anything to do and they're sort of at that level, then they're a player, right?
Yeah, Shingo Goto would be a cool match.
That would be a cool match.
Yeah. So I guess I'll throw him in. I mean, I have him going deep too when we get into their picks, but I just don't see him winning. I would love Taichi, but I don't see him winning. Yoshihashi? Do Goto versus Yoshihashi?
It'd be fun. It'd be fun.
It would be pretty sick, but I don't see him doing it. The only other people you want to talk about maybe are Drilla. That just feels early for him.
It's too early.
Jeff Cobb feels late for him. Ren Narita, I doubt it. I mean, I think that ship has sailed. Even though he might be beating Gabe Kidd, but yeah.
Never rule out Evil.
Yeah, Evil. It just feels to me Evil has Tsuji now. Like I think that's his thing. So. I think he's going to be busy with Tsuji for the global when they do that match at Sakura Genesis or they hold it off for Todontaku. So if he didn't have that obvious match, I would say he's a huge contender, but he seems busy. That's all.
Is there anything you wanted to extend on that point, John, or are you ready to move on to?
No, we can do the picks now. Let's do the brackets.
All right. Well, let's start with that then. So Yota Tsuji against Evil. John, you start us off, please.
Yeah, so I have Evil winning this. I mean, there's no reason not to have him win this. It sets up a really big match in the second round that I'd be really looking forward to. I think the house haters are going to have to, you know, deal with it because there's no reason to have the global champion go deep in this, really. And Tsuji just had his big showcase moment with Gabe Kidd at New Beginning in Osaka. And he's going to have to go for revenge against Evil. That's a pretty classic story. So, yeah, Evil wins here, and they set up Tsuji and Evil for the global title, either Sakura Genesis or one of the Dontaku Tour shows.
Chris?
I agree with that. It almost feels too obvious, but it works. And I do think doing Evil and Finlay here could set up, you know, a rematch down the line, because I think that might be a program that carries through. And Evil always makes a run in these things. You know, we know, right? It's the panic moment where we're all like, oh no, they're going back to Evil. So it feels like he's got to win. And I don't even know. I feel like the last like 4 years, Evil's had a first round bye. So
that's probably true, right? Yeah, he always has a bye.
He's had a lot of first round buys in these things. Yeah, because the buys often make sense. They're former winners, former champions, etc. Year they are random as hell. So you know, and that's fine. It is what it is. It annoys me to all ends, actually, but so be it. Yeah, I think Evil.
It seems like if you lost at Osaka, you got a bye.
Yeah, I mean it's closer to that than anything else.
That's because people want to see fewer of your matches. I see the logic. I see the design. Three for three. I'm also going Evil to beat Yosuji and set up something with the Global Heavyweight Championship. Then on the same show, March the 7th, we've got Yuya Uemura versus Sanada. So, Chris, you go first here, please.
I think Yuya. I think Sanada's cooked.
Sexy Yujiro.
There's always the fear for me, just looking at that bracket, can they resist the urge to do Evil versus Sanada again? Now, the heel versus heel thing is the one saving grace that makes me think, no, they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Well, that is storyline. Right?
John,
I mean,
on Yuya versus Sonata.
Yeah, I mean, I have Yuya winning too. I mean, Sonata's just, you know, his match with Taichi wasn't bad or anything in Osaka, but like, you know, for that to be his ceiling now, you know, a 3.25 star, nice little match. You know, he's a beaten down guy at this point. He's too busy terrorizing people's water bottles to have good matches. And, you know, I'm not into that at all. And Yuya, to me, I mean, it feels like it's an obvious win, but like Yuya is so being set up for a run here. You know, the only way I think he loses this is if they really want to drag out the Yuya versus Sonata thing. But you can have Yuya win here and still do a rematch. It's not like he's having Sonata beat him up at some point. You know, they have Yuya. Yuya looks great. He looked great coming back in Osaka. He's doing media in Japan for New Japan Cup.
He did a topless appearance at a children's hospital or something, didn't he?
Yeah, he also did like a radio show, I think. I remember I saw that somewhere, like a radio show in what's it called? What the hell is the final called again? It's like not Nagaoka. Am I making that up? Yeah, I don't know where it's up.
Niigata. That's where they always do it.
Which is Sonata's hometown, which is funny. But now they got Yuya out there doing the press. But yeah, Yuya is going to beat Sonata here, I think. And I just, you know, I have, again, as you'll see, I have Yuya going very deep. I think this is, you know, this is a perfect opportunity to have him really, you know, reestablish himself coming back from the injury and, you know, really get another young guy established as a top, potential top guy. So, yep, he beats Sonata.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. The only thing that's giving me pause here is the fact that they do seem to enjoy having guys who've come back from an injury lose their first match. It's not often that they'll come back from an injury and just go on a winning streak. So that's the only thing that's making me a little bit scared. But as you've said, Sonata absolutely cooked at this point. So hopefully they'll see sense and Yuya goes deep, because that's what we all want. Everyone would love Yuya to go deep. So that will be that part of the bracket then. So then that takes us to March the 8th, where we have Yohei Oiwa against Chase Owens. John, you can talk to us about that, please.
I hope to God they're just going to have Oiwa win and face his mentor, Zack Sabre Jr. in the second round. I mean, there's really nothing to say here except it's terrifying to think of Chase winning this match and getting the second round match with Zack instead. I'm going to choose to believe we do not live in that world and say Ryohei Oiwa wins here and faces his mentor, Zack, in the second round, because I'd rather live in that world. I don't want to see Chase versus Zack. Who does? Who wants to see Chase at all? Nobody.
Chase, Chris, wants to see
you
Chase.
Give it any hope for the? he's earning so much money, Chris. He's getting paid huge, huge buckets of gold from New Japan.
I've heard that. Yeah, someone told me that once. I think Oiwa wins here.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish your outdoor wood projects with Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Australian Timber Oil is an exterior stain that provides maximum penetration, durability, and water repellency, making it ideal for decks, siding, outdoor furniture, and more. Save big money at Menards on Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
That will take us, same show, March the 8th. Really interesting, a really unpredictable one here. Gabe Kidd versus Ren Narita. Chris, you first, please.
Gosh, I hope Gabe wins, but this could be one of those surprises. Yeah, I'll pick Gabe. Gabe's the safe bet because, you know, I think he's hot right now. You want him on the cards in hefty spots, right? So I think you gotta ride that while you got it.
So yeah, you didn't tell us your Oiwa Chase pick. So just realize that.
Oh yeah, no, I'm definitely going Oiwa. I mean, I'm more okay. The more intriguing thing for me is did Chase Owens pay for his own flight to go to Japan?
So we went. So I just wanted to establish this because we were 3-for-3 on everything so far. So for Gabe Narita, I'm finally going to break. I do have Narita winning this. You know, it's classic heat. It's House of Torture stuff. To have Narita win by via cheating or whatever, hitting the rebuilt push-up bar because the original one got destroyed by Jeff Cobb at Wrestle Kingdom. You know, to set up rematches for Sakura Genesis, the Dentaku Tour. You know, where kids got to get some revenge, give them something to do for a little while. And same kind of thing with Tsuji, where Gabe just had his big moment at New Beginning Osaka. And, you know, maybe it's okay to let some other people be the focus. I mean, I'd love for Gabe to win. I just, this is set up for Narita to win. The other thing to me, too, to keep in mind is the winner of this faces Taichi in the next round. And as much, because Taichi has the bye, and as much as I would love to see Gabe Kidd versus Taichi, I think it'd be awesome. Narita beat Taichi last year via cheating in the New Japan Cup. So they could be setting up a scenario where Taichi gets to get his payback on Narita in the second round. So that's what I'm counting on, kind of.
I feel Gabe Kidd needs to start winning some matches at some point. And I'm in a sort of strike while the iron's hot kind of mood with Gabe. So I'm picking Gabe to win. Just to confirm, Chris, did you say Gabe winning that as well?
I said Gabe, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, let's pop over to the other side of the bracket then. March the 9th, we're going El Phantasmo against Great O'Khan. Chris?
I think Great O'Khan wins this. Mostly to set up the match with Amino as the rematch, but I could see a case for El Phantasmo to set up a TV title situation with El Phantasmo and Amino. But that's a huge down cycle for Amino. So I'm going to go Okan.
So I have ELP winning this. I think it's a little bit of a fake out where they're not going to give you Okan versus Amino again right away. I think a lot depends on, first of all, on who X is at the anniversary show on the 6th, where ELP is defending the TV title against X. I assume he's going to lose that to whoever X is, whether it's Umino himself, who's not booked on the anniversary show, or it's, you know, Baron Corbin, or it's whoever the fuck. I think ELP loses that, and then he gets kind of a win here to make up for that. And it sets up a match for Umino that in the second round, you know, with Umino being the guy who gets the bye, that's interesting because they're, you know, they're kind of friends, they're kind of friendly. You know, is Umino having a new attitude at this point? Did Umino just beat him for the TV title? So I think that is where they're going here. I do have ELP winning. I wouldn't be stunned at all if Great O'Khan won. You know, I just think this is one of the upsets that's going to happen, is ELP beating O'Khan to, instead of doing another O'Khan Umino match. So
I think I'm going for setting up a rematch here. So I'm picking Great O'Khan to win as well, because I think a little feud between O'Khan and ELP for the TV title would be quite good. Someone in the Discord proposed an idea, which could just be mad fancy booking, where whomever the X is ends up taking out El Phantasmo and taking his place in the New Japan Cup. But I
hope that doesn't happen. I don't think the fans would like that. It's not like New Japan to falsely advertise something, especially with a wrestler who is as beloved as El Phantasmo is. So I'm just going to pick Great Okan to win that one and go through to have his rematch with Shota Umino. Then same show, we've got Tetsuya Naito versus Callum Newman. I think we've all said at this point, or certainly both you, Chris and John, have said that you think this is a Callum Newman upset. I don't know if we'd even call it an upset at this point. John?
Yep, I have Callum winning this. I think also sets up a match with Jeff Cobb in the second round where it's, you know, United Empire versus United Empire, which is interesting. You know, it won't stun me if Naito wins if they don't do it, but it feels like a moment to like tell people that Callum is back and he's, you know, for better or worse, he's probably going to get a push here. So I have Callum winning, and it will also probably set up some kind of tag title challenge down the line too, whether that's Cobb as his partner or Okan or whoever, who knows who.
I just confirming, Chris, that's also your pick, Callum Newman over Naito?
Yeah, and I've heard that Callum has bulked up, and I don't really know what that means. I don't know if that's true, but in his time away, someone said he's looking bigger. So we'll see what that means, or if he's still the Prince of Pace.
I just hope he's better than he was in the G1, honestly.
Really? You thought he was that bad?
He was pretty bad. I didn't think he was ready for that spot at all. And I know I saw Will Ospreay got mad about it on Twitter, like got mad at the amount of criticism he was getting. You know, I mean, I get that's his boy and stuff, but like, he just didn't feel ready for the moment to me at all. And he stood out in a G1 that otherwise was really, really good. I know, as Chris kind of said before, like probably easily their best one since, you know, like 2019. You know, he stood out as a negative to me, and especially in a few spots where, you know, that he had a really terrible opening match with Shota. He had an absolutely absurd match with Shingo where, you know, Shingo took the entire match and then he hit one friggin' he was supposed to handspring out of a DDT, and instead it looked like he got dropped right in his head and just no-sold it after like taking 10,000 moves before that, and then just hit one Oz Cutter and pinned Shingo, which was ridiculous considering Shingo used to kick out of like 10,000 Oz Cutters every time he wrestled Will Ospreay himself. So just a completely absurd match. And yeah, I didn't think he was very good in the G1 at all, but you know, I'm going to give him a chance when he comes back. Maybe he looks better. I don't know.
But just I forgot about that Shingo match. That match was,
oh my God,
so frustrating.
It's so stupid. I mean, I can deal with no selling in my pro wrestling, but like it needs to make sense. And then for sure, if you're going to do that, if you're going to do that match structure, you cannot be pinning Shingo with one single move. Like, you know, it's like he hit the fucking Stone Cold Stunner out of nowhere and pinned him. Like he needs to pin him with a roll up or something at least.
Right.
It's completely absurd.
Yeah.
All right. Well, same show. We've got Tomohiro Ishii versus Driller Maloney. So Chris, your thoughts on that, please.
See, that one's tough. But Driller just beat Shingo and it looked good. So, you know, collecting another kind of scalp of similar nature is probably the play there. So I want to go Drilla. It also sets up Drilla versus TJP, which for whatever reason just feels like that's a match that both those dudes want to do. So I don't know that, but I could just see those guys lobbying for it. So I'm gonna go Drilla.
John?
Yep, I got Drilla too. I think Drilla set up for a little bit of a run here to go up against a guy he just faced, as we'll get to. And yeah, I mean, to me, it's a good couple rounds here to give him a win over Ishii and to give him a win over open weight TJP. I think that makes sense. So, you know, builds on his momentum from beating Shingo at New Beginning in Osaka. So I got Drilla here as well.
Yeah, it feels like a concerted effort to establish Drilla as, at the very least, like a contender for the G1. And I think Ishii being a guy who was on the fringes last year and didn't make it through the play-in tournament, it would be strange for him to then beat Driller. I think that would sort of undo a lot of the good that it did with Driller getting that shock win over Shingo in the first place. So I'm in agreement. I think Driller wins this. And then also March the 9th, we have Bolton Oleg, or Oleg Bolton, depending on your preferred nomenclature, against Bad Luck Farley. So
can I just say that whole thing? It's so fucking stupid because, like, the whole reason why the people freak out about this is because they flip every Japanese wrestler's name back around when they write it in English, right? Like, they don't write Naito Tetsuya, they write Tetsuya Naito. But I guess because Bolton actually isn't, because obviously so they don't normally write the foreign wrestler's name backwards, like in katakana, right? If you know how to read katakana, they don't write Fale Bad Luck. they write Bad Luck Fale, or even like a guy who has a real name, they don't write Kid Gabe in the katakana, they write Gabe Kid. But I guess Bolton Oleg, because he's, you know, he's trying to, like, I don't know, I guess be more Japanese. I don't know, like, really fitting with the culture. They write it backwards, and then they just, for some reason, also write it backwards in English, even though for all the Japanese people, they flip it around. So if you have no idea about any of that, I get why you're so confused when you get this name and be like, well, his name is Oleg Bolton. But, well, not his name in New Japan. What do you want me to tell?
I would just like
truly, truly funny audio.
But David, for my own purposes, I would like for Cage Match to align with New Japan, because then write whatever New Japan write. I can't even remember who writes what at this point. It's Oleg Bolton and it for New Japan, right?
No, it's Bolton Oleg for New Japan.
It's Bolton Oleg for New Japan, but on Cage Match, it's Oleg Bolton.
I just confirmed, I didn't say Oleg Bolton. Yeah.
Which means in all of the database that Jeremy Sexton, hat tip to Jeremy Sexton, built for me to do all the stuff that I do, I've always got what looks like the wrong name, and I can't change it. So, you know, if anyone is listening.
Please flip it. Please flip it. Do you want to know another funny thing, just looking at his Cage Match? x.com/Oleg Bolton, instagram.com/Bolton Oleg. Even he can't decide.
Pick a lane, my guy.
Tremendous. Or yeah, don't. Just kind of just keep being a badass.
So I have Bolton Holly beating Bad Luck Fale, because who the fuck wants to see Bad Luck Fale go in the second round, please?
He's got to win. I'll be so... That would take me completely out of this whole thing. Oleg's got to win.
Okay, so that would be the first round done. And we go to the second round.
Wait, hang on. I have a data point on that particular match. Bad Luck Fale has the fewest picks to advance out of the first round, with 4 of the 175 entries currently right now. And those, you know, one of them has him to win the damn thing. So I might delete that one.
Can you geo-track those entries? Are they mostly coming from the
I've
Fale
got
dojo?
Email addresses and IPs, I think. So I'm going to find this person. It might be Bad Luck Fale. We love to delete. In the data world, we love to delete an anomaly. And I'm very tempted. Very tempted by that one.
Bad Luck. You know that if it's either him or it's like some guy who was like drunk that night or whatever. And was like, Fale.
Someone's doing a bit that I don't understand.
Yeah.
Okay, so March the 11th.
Oh, wait, actually, what's the opposite? What's the opposite? Who has the most votes to move on?
Outside of the buys?
Yeah.
Actually,
is it Oiwa?
It's Bolton Oleg.
Oh, wait, duh, that makes sense. Duh.
Yeah, that's the invoice. Yeah.
I just fucking asked, okay, actually, here's
it's Oiwa, otherwise, though.
What's the actual opposite? What's the closest match?
Damn, that's a good question. ELP Great Okan.
Huh. I would have guessed...
Tsuji Evil's right there, too.
Yeah, I would have guessed Naito Callum, honestly.
That's the third one.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, so those are your top three for that round.
Makes sense. Because if you're not locked in, kind of, you just see Naito's name there, you're like, oh, of course Naito's going to win. Yeah. But I think all the people who follow this closer kind of suspect Callum's going to win, based on how they're using Naito now. So that's why I'm not surprised that one's really close. Anyway, second round.
Sekiro, as we have predicted it, we would have on March the 11th, Evil versus David Finlay. So very interesting match there for character and storytelling purposes. Let's go with you, John.
So I have Finlay winning this. This is like another one that could go. This is one that could go either way for me. Evil could win because he tends to go deep in these things. And he, you know, it would set up like a, you know, the Bullet Club or the War Dogs, I guess, versus House of Torture, you know, as a feud, even more maybe to have Evil win. So, you know, it won't shock me at all if Evil wins, but I think Finlay going out after the bye would look kind of weak for him after the run he had last time. I see him winning this and, you know, kind of making up for the fact that Kid lost to Narita in the first round. And, you know, it kind of evens up the War Dogs House of Torture score. So I see Finlay winning this and moving on to the third round.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. Chris, is it 3 out of 3?
Yes, but I'm starting to think that Gabe's not winning that first round. I actually think the story with Gabe right now is that he's not going to win anything. He hasn't won a singles match yet this year in New Japan. So,
wonder. Are you retroactively changing your pick there?
No, I'm going to stick with it for the purposes of this podcast and for arguments. But I do think they will balance the War Dogs House of Torture stuff. But with that said, actually, you know what? With that said, I'm going Evil. I'll go Evil here.
Spicy. Then you had Yuya versus Yoshihashi as your other match from March 11th.
I think we all did.
Yeah, yes. I'll go Yuya on that one. I think Yuya's going deep.
And John?
I have Yuya beating Yoshihashi too. Yeah, I'd be. I mean, unless they really want to go crazy with that Bishamon explodes match, but I think Yuya wins.
Yeah, I also have Yuya winning because David Finlay did specifically call out Yuya towards the back end of last year, so I feel that they are in each other's crosshairs, and I think this is probably the point where they're going to meet in the next round of this tournament. So then, also on March the 11th. I think we all have Oiwa against Zack Sabre Jr. So, John?
Yeah. Zack wins this one. I think it just doesn't make any sense to have Oiwa win his first match against Zack. That's probably something he's going to win in a G1 like 3 years from now. So, Zack wins here.
Chris?
I agree. Zack wins. And he'll start to get some buzz that he's going to win some stuff. But I think they'll have a banger match.
Yeah, I imagine Zack would want to do his utmost to make Oiwa look good in this. So definitely want to be circling on the calendar if it does play out like this, even if I'm also picking Zack Sabre Jr. to win. But yeah, setting the table for sort of that kind of generational thing, the Senpai-Kohai dynamic, and hope that they have lots of matches to come. Then moving to March the 12th, we've got Gabe Kidd versus Taichi for you, Chris. So talk to me about Gabe versus Taichi.
I'll go Gabe. I think Gabe goes through here.
I also have Gabe versus Taichi. I think it would just be a cool match, and
it'd be a hell of a match if it happens. Yeah,
that would be just really sort of good stylistic. They beat the crap out of each other, and yeah, I don't think the company are particularly high on Taichi. I don't think they respect him and enjoy him as much as we do. So I think either way, he's not winning this. So yeah, I'm picking Gabe Kidd to beat Taichi to go through. And then, John, you would have Ren versus Taichi.
I'm putting on my clown nose. I'm going to bet that we're getting Zack Taichi finally, especially since Zack mentioned it again before the New Beginning of Osaka show that, you know, that was what I really knew he was losing to Goto, actually. Because he said if he wins that match, he wants to defend against Taichi at the anniversary show. Like, well, that's not happening. But yeah, I do think since they mentioned the match again and the fact that Taichi lost to Narita last year, he'll get a little measure of revenge here and he'll beat Narita. I probably should just pick Narita, especially since I have both House of Torture guys going out in the second round, but I think they'll just do it. I think Taichi will win. They'll finally give us Zack versus Taichi in the next round, and Taichi will get a measure of revenge on Narita for what happened last year. So maybe even set up a six-man title match for you know, one of those Dontaku shows with Taichi, Uemura, and Taka going for the six-man belts.
Then also, same show, March the 12th. John, we're going with you. You have El Fantasma against Shota Umino.
Yep, I think the Umino revenge rampage, the baldy Umino revenge here starts, and he beats ELP to move on.
Yeah, who have I got here? Yeah, I also have the bald fraud, Shota Umino, beating Great Okan, getting his win back there. And Chris, you have Great Okan versus Umino.
I think they bury Umino and Okan wins here.
Ooh, that would be quite a statement.
But I think it's part, you know, it's part of the story. It's part of the whole thing. And somehow somehow that leads to Umino joining United Empire. Like this
just
whole...
Just real quick, they faced each other in the G1, didn't they? Okan and Umino. Were they in the same block?
Yeah, Umino beat him, I think.
Okay.
Right, because Umino only lost to, like, the top... No. Umino lost to him.
He lost, yeah. Right. That was on Great Okan's run, yeah.
Yeah, he only beat, like, top guys, which was kind of
yes, right.
So I could see them doing that, sort of building Great Okan as Shota Umino's boogeyman. Like, he cannot beat Great Okan, and that sort of set up as his... Yeah. But I'm still picking the Shota
to win this. No, Umino won. Umino won the G1 match.
Oh,
Umino did it? Okay.
It was at the beginning. Time. It was the third match for both of them. Early in the tournament. Now I'm looking at it. I remember. Yeah, it was before Great Okan went on. You know, went on his run and Shota just started losing everything.
The Jake Lee one was the funniest loss for some reason. I don't know. Because the crowd was like really into Jake. Like, I mean, the match had no heat at first, and the crowd was like, you know what, we want Jake Lee to win.
I wonder if Jake Lee is X.
Isn't it too early? I thought
I don't know.
I could have sworn I heard he's out to like June.
I think that's what I'd heard. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't. Yeah. I have not heard. I haven't asked.
And that, I miss him a lot. I miss the smart bastard. And that theme song too. The like violin intro. It's like,
I miss the monocle.
The monocle. It is funny how much that him jumping worked out for him and Noah. Because, like, they basically got good-looking guys, which is, like, a horrible top heel unit, and they replaced it with Team 2000X that's, like, a big deal all of a sudden and, like, actually really hot in Noah. And meanwhile, Jake Lee got to go to New Japan like he always wanted to. I mean, I guess the injury didn't work out for Lee, but he's still here. I mean, he was starting to get over before he got injured with the team of Gabe, so, yeah.
Okay, then we would move on to the 14th of March, and I've got Callum Newman against Jeff Cobb, and I'm picking Jeff Cobb to beat Callum Newman. I'll go through. And Chris, you also have Callum versus Cobb. Actually, I think we all do, but yeah, Chris, yeah. You go first.
I think Cobb goes through, because then we'll do Cobb and Okan on my bracket, and that's fun. I'm into that.
Sure.
I got Cobb winning as well. I just think Callum's going to get his big scalp over Naito, and then Cobb is going to win. So that's what I assume.
And then the same show, March 14th, I've got Driller Maloney against TJP. And I'm picking,
I think we all do Driller again.
To win that. Yeah. Are we all three of us going Driller to beat TJP?
Yeah. I'd be stunned if they put TJP over here. I don't know why they would.
God, unless they're doing like a huge United Empire story on this side of the bracket and somehow going to get TJP into the semis against Cobb or Okan or Newman, I guess.
I hope not. The most deserving member of the Fighting Spirit 50 last year.
That
over lots of other New Japan people that should have been in there instead.
Yeah, that just doesn't sound exciting. So I'll go Drilla. I think they're establish him as a dude.
And then also March 14th, we've all got Oleg Bolton or Bolton Oleg against Shingo Takagi. Chris, who have you got for that one?
I think Bolton gives me a birthday present and wins this one.
Yeah, interesting. I've got Shingo winning this.
Yeah, I have Shingo too, because it also sets up the Shingo Drilla rematch from Osaka. So, yeah, Shingo wins, I think.
Okay, so then that will take us to March the 15th. And John, you would have David Finlay against Yuya Uemura.
Yep, but I got Yuya beating him. Yuya beats Finlay in the biggest upset of the quarterfinals, at least the way I have it. So Yuya beats Finlay, moves on to the semifinals.
I've got the same match. I've got Finlay versus Yuya, but I think Finlay wins. I think Finlay will be kind of like a nemesis that is built up for Yuya, and it might take him several attempts before he's able to beat Finlay. I don't know. It just feels like it might be a bit soon for that. I'm not sure. Although, did they wrestle each other in the G1, or was...
I think they did. I don't remember who won off the top of my head. I think it was Yuya who won, right? Am I remembering this wrong?
I'm looking at it.
I think you might be right as well.
Yeah, Yuya won. Yuya won.
Oh, well, Dave's getting his win back then.
Yeah,
Chris, July 20th. You have Evil versus Yuya.
I think Yuya wins and gets rid of Evil.
Okay. Then on the same show, March the 15th, Chris, you have Zack Sabre Jr. versus Gabe Kidd.
I think Zach wins.
And John, you have Zack Sabre Jr. versus Taichi. Dangerous Taichi.
What a wonderful world that would be. Where is the show, by the way, the quarterfinals? Do you know?
Let me check for you.
I'm just curious. Like, is there any special significance? I have Zach winning, of course. I mean, if we're actually...
The Dolphins Arena.
Oh, it's in Nagoya? Okay, they're definitely doing Zach Taichi. And I'm even more convinced now.
You're going to snip that out. We're going to snip that out. They're never doing it.
Zach wins. Zach wins. Though. Zach does beat Taichi.
God, that would be great, though.
I know, Nagoya?
Yeah. Oh, damn.
Zach and Taichi in Nagoya? That would be so awesome.
That's the tickets.
Zach wins, though, for sure.
Okay, so that means you two have the same semi-final. You've both got Yuya versus Zach, is that right?
Yep.
I've got Gabe Kidd beating Zack Sabre Jr., and I've got a Gabe versus Finlay semi-final. So, wow. Bit of deviation there. Yeah, a bit of divergence.
That's interesting.
Yeah, getting spicy here. Then the same show, the 15th of March, we would have, from your side, John, Shota Umino versus Jeff Cobb.
The bald Umino revenge tour continues. He beats Jeff Cobb, moves on to the semifinals.
Gross.
And Chris, you've got the far less disgusting Great Okan versus Jeff Cobb in a United Empire.
Okan wins here.
Oh, okay. All right. So you got Okan going deep. I like it. For me, I have Shota beating Jeff Cobb. So I've got Shota going to the semifinals.
What the hell? You just acted like I was a fucking crazy person. You have the same exact fucking match the same wedding.
Look, it's hard for me to juggle all these three things, keeping track of what you've picked and what I've picked and responding to it in a logical way. It's really difficult. Thank God Damon and J. Michael couldn't make it, because if they were both on this recording, I'd be fucked. I wouldn't know what to do. So,
well, we'd also go another 6 hours. I love J. Michael. I'm very mad that he's not here. Umino, the second most people in the bracket challenge right now think Umino is advancing to the semis, to the final four. So top four are, and I don't even know if these are all, they have to be in different quadrants, I think. I don't really know. The math's not mathing. Shingo, Shota, David Finlay, and Gabe Kidd.
Those are the four different quadrants. Yeah.
Yeah, so those are the four. But Zack Sabre Jr. is right behind Gabe Kidd in that quadrant. So
who's second in this quadrant? Because this quadrant's pretty barren to me, which is another reason why Umino going. It's like Okan second.
Oh, Baron, is that a little clue there?
Heyo. What am I looking at here? Umino. I need to color code this.
Oh, it could be. People might have Naito next. Cobb. Probably. Oh, Cobb.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cobb. He's a tournament guy. Makes sense. Yeah. Makes some sense. Yeah. Naito's right behind that. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then Okan?
Yeah. Okay. Nope. Then El Phantasmo.
Nobody got faith in Okan, huh?
No, it doesn't look like it. I do, apparently.
I haven't going out in the first round, so I guess I shouldn't talk, but he would be my next most likely after Umino to get to the semifinals from this quarter, I think.
I'm just trying to think of like what's the most interesting final four. You know? I mean that's if you're looking at like a basketball tournament, which I don't do, but like that's what I would do and then work backwards to get there.
Yeah.
That's sort of what I'm doing here.
Yeah, I think I have a good final four, but we'll get to it in a sec.
Yeah. Me too.
All right, then the final match on March the 15th. John, you have Driller Maloney versus Shingo Takagi rematch.
Yep, and I got Shingo getting his win back from Osaka and moving on to the semifinals. So my final four is actually pretty close to the four that Chris mentioned as the most likely, but I have Yuya, Zach, Umino, and Shingo. So
okay. I also have Shingo getting his win back. So my final four is Finlay, Gabe Kidd, Shota, and Shingo. Chris,
we have one same semifinal and the other one's completely different.
Correct. Chris, you've got Driller against Bolton.
I'm going Bolton.
Ooh. Okay, so your final four then is Yuya versus Zach and Great Okan versus Bolton.
Yes.
Tasty. All right, then that will take us to the first semifinal on March the 16th.
That actually is really funny though. Then we all have one semifinal in common. Oh, I have one semifinal in common with both of you. That's kind of funny.
Oh, interesting.
Because I also have Yuya Zach, but then we have a different one on the other side. So,
it's good that we're not all picking the same thing. So for my completely unique semifinal, I've got Gabe Kidd against David Finlay. And it feels almost a bit too soon to be doing this. It does feel like they will meet at some point, but I'm picking Gabe Kidd to win, and at some point, David Finlay will be getting some sort of brutal and bloody revenge on Gabe Kidd. So Gabe Kidd will win, and then Finlay's going to go off and be fuming about it and nursing that grudge for a while, and he will strike back at some point when Gabe Kidd is at his lowest ebb. So I'm picking Gabe Kidd to beat Finlay to go through to the New Japan Cup final. Chris, you have Yuya Uemura versus Zack Sabre Jr.
Yuya goes to the finals.
And John?
I also have Yuya beating Zack to move on to the final.
Okay. Then on the other side, March the 17th, John, you have Shota Umino versus Shingo Takagi.
Bald Shota moving on to the finals. He beat Shingo.
Okay, so your final then is Yuya versus Shota.
Yep, I think it'd be the kind of final where you really say this is the new era, this is the new Japan, and you spotlight two more of the young guys after you just did Tsuji versus Gabe in Osaka. Plus you really want to spotlight the young guys again since you have Goto as champion too. So yeah, that's why I had that as the final.
My semi-final is also Shota versus Shingo, but I've got Shingo winning this and making it through to the final. And Chris, you've got Great Okan versus Oleg Bolton.
That's an insane semi-final. I'm not sure how I got here, but I'm gonna go Great Okan going to the final. So my final is then Great Okan versus Yuya Uemura, which is awesome.
It's a bold statement.
That happens, I'm so in.
Okay, so my final then is Gabe Kidd versus Shingo Takagi. I just think that's a pretty sexy match on paper. I think the last couple of times they've wrestled, it's gone down really well, and the fans have loved it. So I think they would really enjoy the chance at seeing that, which I think it would be a third time, at least in recent memory.
And yeah, it's on Taku, G1, and now this, yeah.
That's right. So last time it felt like that was the moment where the fans were desperate to cheer for Gabe Kidd, and he just teased that for them, and then I can't remember what he did. He kicked Shingo in the balls or something, and not give them the permission to cheer for him. But now it feels like we'll go back to that match on a big stage, and allowing the fans to cheer for him. And I think Gabe Kidd beats Shingo Takagi to win the New Japan Cup 2025. Chris, you have Yuya Uemura versus Great Okan in the New Japan Cup final.
I think Yuya wins. I think they're going to run through that generation. I think Yuya was in line for a run towards the tail end of the G1 that got derailed. So I think they want to get him back on track. So I think Yuya wins the New Japan Cup and gets that title match. I think they're testing some of these guys. I think they're testing that generation, this generation of guys, and putting them in there with a guy like Goto, Ryugoku, I think is the perfect space to check to see where Yuya's at. And it really gets him back on track after an injury.
Okay, I like that thinking. John, you have Yuya Uemura versus Shota Umino as your final.
Yep, and the bald Shota terrorist run ends here, and Yuya defeats him to win the New Japan Cup and probably lose to Goto as Sakura Genesis, but that's okay because he gets his big moment here and still gets elevated by winning the cup and being Goto's big Sakura Genesis challenger.
Chris, do you also have Yuya failing to beat Goto at Sakura Genesis?
I don't know. Yeah, probably. I think that's the story to tell, is that none of these guys are over that hump just yet. But I wouldn't be shocked if they just went for it. I think he's the guy. I genuinely think he's the guy from that generation, and I do think they recognize that. But I'm always one to bet on the bold booking, so you know, it would be a bold move, but it would really set him up to at least have a short run and kind of be in position to be that guy. One of these guys has to win the title at some point, so he may as well be the best looking one.
He looks great with that beard.
I know
that beard is a great addition.
He's always had the best look.
There's something about him. It's like kind of late 80s, early 90s sort of Hong Kong action film hero aesthetic. It's like the jeans and the belt and the hair. There's just something about that which just sort of resonates with me. Yeah, I can tell you're in agreement. So I've got Gabe Kidd also losing to Goto. I just think that would be a very hot Sumo Hall main event with doing the proper sort of.
But I will not be complaining if that would is be, the main event I get.
That would be fun. That sets up a weird dynamic with the War Dog situation, though. I guess that's happening.
I'd have Gabe losing that sort of narrowly and sort of going out of the Shield, but then afterwards, Finley coming out, under the guise of being like, "Oh, pat him on the back, oh, well done, you did well," but then they batter him. And, that would be your closing angle at Sakura Genesis of Gabe Kidd getting kicked out of the War Dogs. And I don't know, that's where I'm going for this. So.
And then Goto takes him under his wing. And
yes,
then Gabe Kidd is the new leader of Chaos.
Leader of Chaos, exactly. It writes itself. Kikuchi, you've done it again. All right, I've got a sad daughter comes to me. So I'm going to wrap it up now, guys. Oh, no. All right. Well, before I get out of here, thank you very much for joining us, guys. I will leave you, go to both of you first. Any closing thoughts and plugs before I pull the plug? John, would you like to go first, please?
Sure. I guess I just mentioned I've been writing these articles on voicesofwrestling.com lately, where I kind of break down the upcoming schedule for all four of the Japanese promotions I watch. So New Japan, All Japan, NOAH, and Stardom. And I kind of give you, not just the dates, but try to like really dig into these cards and, especially for the bigger shows, like give, some thoughts on what you should be looking forward to. And then obviously just, I think it's useful just to have all the dates in one place and know which shows are airing live and which ones are VOD and all that. But yeah, so if you're into any of those promotions and you want to check that out, it goes up on voicewrestling.com usually about every 2 weeks. I had to do a short one this week because, they don't, Stardom didn't have the March television schedule up yet. So But yeah, it's just a schedule of all the televised events on all four promotions. It's kind of been my big project lately. And the captain over there, Rich Craig, said it's been doing good traffic because it keeps getting picked up by, I guess, people Googling. So I'm happy. But yeah, check that out. And also, you know, follow me on, I guess, Blue Sky. Don't follow me on Twitter. It's fucking bullshit now. Blue Sky, I'm at just one MB. I will be posting many, many pictures in Japan when I leave in, you know, less than 4 weeks now. So, you know, if you want to follow along on that journey, 18 days over there. So I have a lot of things to post.
Thank you, John. And Chris?
Yeah, just go to sportofprowrestling.com and join the bracket challenge. And I can include your information when I send it to my friends at the broadcast table. And I post and mute on Twitter occasionally. So, you know, if you want to see my not so hot takes and mostly facts and figures, find me there at the Chris Samsa.
Okay, it's all fallen apart here. So I've got a daughter who's just climbed on my lap, and the cat is walking all over the laptop now. So I'm great.
Classic JCast.
It's long. Thank you very much for joining us, Chris and John. We appreciate your time. That was a lot of fun. And thank you, JCast listeners. Wait. We will see.
Can I solve the mystery from the last episode about my hockey team?
Yeah. Please do.
So Joel was correct. I was just rooting for Canada because I hate America.
I knew that.
That's it. Yeah. It had nothing to do with the players. I just hate the United States of America. That's it. That's all there is to it.
Perfect way to end the show. So death to the USA. And we'll see you next week, listeners.
Exactly.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I want to tell you all about my show, the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. On the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, we do a thorough analysis on the biggest issues and trends within the pro wrestling industry. We talk a lot about pro wrestling media, we talk a lot about fan culture, and wrestling's place within general pop culture, and we talk about the broader influences that are shaping the way we discuss and analyze the pro wrestling industry. We've had some of the brightest minds in the pro wrestling intelligentsia on the show, including WrestleNomics host Brandon Thurston, both Rich Kreich and Joe Lanza from the Flagship Wrestling Podcast, Trevor Dame from the Through the Years podcast, and a whole lot more. This isn't a show for hot takes. It's not a show recapping the latest episode of television. This is a show focusing on the biggest topics in pro wrestling and doing a deep dive on the real stories behind the surface level analysis you might find elsewhere. The Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a try. Thanks.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.